Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam actually asked one sahabi to go and put on his coat of arms and his battle gear and everything and come with his sword and everything. And then he said, I want to send you for one jihad and I want to see you receiving sufficient amount of booty and wealth. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I haven't become a Muslim for that. But from that hadith it is deduced that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not say that he mustn't have wealth. He wanted to see him have wealth also. But again, they were the first audience of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in whose life there was namaz, roza, zakat, hajj and everything else. And not like what Akbar al-Awadi has said, which you have heard on many occasions, na namaz hai, na roza, na zakat hai, na hajj. To khushi phir iski kya hai ke koi gent hai to koi judge. The khushi and happiness will only be there if the person who is a judge or is a president of a country or is a ruler or is a prime minister or is a cabinet minister or is a doctor or is a lawyer, engineer, whatever he may be. But if he is a good Muslim, then we will express great happiness and will make dua for you. But if that person has got everything but he hasn't got Islam, he hasn't got Iman, he hasn't got Akhlaq, he hasn't got A'mal, so then what is the benefit of that? Why should we be so desirous of that which he has? Because it's going to take him to Jahannam. So why must we be desirous? Why must we be jealous? Yes, we can have ghibta, we can have rashk, we can be desirous of a person who has been given the wealth of the Quran Sharif. La hasada illa ala isnain. Those two people of whom you can have some hasad. Hasad means rashk. That, oh Allah, also make me like that. Rajulun ataahu Allahu malan fahuwa yunfiquhu ana al-layli wa ana al-nahar. And before that he says, the person who has been given the Quran Sharif and he reads day and night, or he engages himself in the khidmat of the Quran Sharif. And the other person whom Allah Ta'ala has given wealth and he spends from there day and night. That means in all good causes he spends. So then we can say, Ya Allah, just as you have given him, give me also so that I can spend too. Give me also so that I can read Quran and make khidmat of Quran Sharif. But this kind of people who have got everything but they're heading in the direction of Jahannam and we are envious and jealous, then how will it help us? In other words, we are being envious of that person who is going to Jahannam. Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho? This hasad and jealousy is burning the hearts of people. People just cannot see others progressing. Brothers cannot see brothers progressing. So much so that we have come to a time when the fathers cannot see the sons progressing. And mothers cannot see the daughters progressing. And the ustad cannot see his shagird's progressing. If the shagird and the student suddenly started progressing so much that he gives better bayan than the ustad and reads better than the ustad, then now the ustad also becomes jealous. And then murids are jealous of other murids. And then those who are not murids are jealous of murids of people. Nothing but jealousy. Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho? Khuda ki taqseem pe tum ho naraz? Kaffe afsos kyun mal rahe ho? Why are you going in the direction of Jahannam through jealousy? Khuda ki taqseem. It's a taqseem, it's a distribution of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Was Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala obliged to make mashwara with us before he blesses anybody with some qualities and sifat and some kamal and some wealth and some beauty and some health and some home and some car? Allah ta'ala must make mashwara with us first. Have a parliamentary sitting. And then we will give mashwara, that gift to so and so, so much. It is Allah ta'ala's taqseem. He will decide whom to give. We must look at who is the person that's getting it and whether it is going to be beneficial or the person is going to use it to go to Jahannam. If it is beneficial, he's going to make whatever he is getting, it is good and he's going to use it in a good way. Then be desirous, Ya Allah, bless me also so that I can also do the same thing. But don't be jealous and envious. Kaffe of sos kyun mal rahe ho? Why are you rubbing the palms of your hands in regret, high, high all the time? The person who is jealous, if he gets no other azab, and no other punishment, then that punishment is sufficient for that jealousy that he has to burn all the time. Any person gets anything, his heart is burning. So that is sufficient azab for him. He doesn't need more azab than that. And then that same jealousy then leads to hatred and then anger. And then the person is, after that, all the good qualities of the person is all washed away. Nothing after that remains. That same person who we were praising and putting him on the seventh heaven, now suddenly that person, due to that jealousy, finish. He's got no sifat left, no qualities left, no attributes left. What kind of akhlaq is this? And how long are we going to live in this world with this kind of akhlaq, which is nothing but the akhlaq of the hypocrites? The hypocrites, that was their akhlaq. But we don't want to take it seriously, we don't want to really polish these hearts of ours, and we just want to pride ourselves and made so much umrahs, made so much hajj. Look at what people are talking after we return from our hajj. Look at what kind of changes have come in our character. Has any change come? Those people with whom we had all kinds of problems, is there now a change after all the hajj that we make and all the umrahs that we make? Has any decrease come in the greed with which we went? And after return, has that greed decreased? Has that jealousy decreased? Has that malice decreased? Has the resentment? Is there any increase in the level of taqwa? Any increase in the level of shukr and zuhud and qanaat? Any increase in the level of ibadat? Any increase in the level of control of gaze and control of heart from haram? Is there any increase? Or those things in which they're supposed to be increased, now there's a decrease. And those things in which they're supposed to be decreased, now there's an increase. Believe me, what I'm telling you, there are people who are saying it themselves. I don't look down upon them, but they want islah. So they're writing from different parts of the world. I made hajj and I returned, but now after return, suddenly the desire and taqaza has come to start watching the porn sites, which I never had before, and to engage in zina and adultery, and or to start some other kind of haram activity. He says, I wasn't doing that before I went for hajj. After I returned, I started doing it. But before hajj, he said, I had this weakness, that weakness. So will this type of hajj be of any benefit? But of course, we don't say that we must give up the hajj and give up the umrah and give up the tilawat and give up the zikr and give up the ibadat. Whatever it is that you are doing, make shukr over it. Whatever ni'mat it is, make shukr over it. But don't be satisfied, don't be contented, don't feel complacent, and don't give ourselves all kinds of titles of piety and people of taqwa and people of great heights and great wilayat. That is the dangerous thing. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us from it. Riya and show business will get us nowhere. So keep on making tawbah, istighfar, nadama, shame, cry before Allah ta'ala. We don't know when our departure will come. We don't know when we will have to exit from this world. Our time in the departure lounge may come to an end. So before that day comes, let us make tawbah from our sins and make a determined intention and niyyah to bring about a proper change and revolution in our lives.